Today, I'm extremely excited to have Richie Bonilla. He's the CEO and co-founder of Forage. I'm going to let him explain what Forage is precisely, but I can tell you it's a product that I've been using. And the reason he's on is because I think it's a tremendous product. Caveat, I was given 3 months free because of making contributions, suggestions, which is very nice. But I do love this product and will be paying for it when my 3 months are up. Richie, how are you?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Really happy to have you here. Why don't we start by saying what Forage is and how you came to create it. Let's start with what it is.
Sure. So Forage is an AI that manages your inbox, your email inbox for you. And it does that by filtering your mail. It identifies what emails are a priority or from other people, and it keeps those in your inbox. And everything else, it filters and organizes categories and then sends you a daily summary that you can quickly scan. So your inbox stays really streamlined, high signal, and you still get to see all the other mail that was filtered out, a regular inbox.
Well, thanks for coming tonight. That about sums it up. Tell me a little bit about Forage, the company, how you got started and how you turned to email as your focus.
Yeah. So I've been building sort of startup after startup over the last 10 years, starting from when I dropped out of college and then just helping other founders with their products. And so this company, I've been working with the same team for the last 4 to 5 years, and this is our fourth product. And the one thing that was consistent across all of these companies was email. And so we sort of looked at what was happening with LLMs and AI, and we thought pretty much everything is up for grabs, including the oldest technologies. And LLMs provide us with a new opportunity to re-examine email, which is just like a lot of unstructured data that previously you really couldn't operate on programmatically. But now with LLMs, we can actually like read emails and semantically analyze them and then do things based on that. And so we figured, you know, email is the thing everyone keeps trying to kill. And they always say, we're going to kill email. But we think email is here to stay. And it's arguably stronger than it's ever been. So why don't we make it great? And so as a business owner, I know that my business runs an email, always has. And I think that's going to continue. And I think that we have an opportunity to make email truly something awesome, because it's the last place on the internet that is still yours.
It seems to me that you're using AI in two ways. One is whatever work you're doing for organizing the mail. And the other is for the summaries you're providing of various newsletters.
Yeah, that's right. So the first thing that happens when emails come in is we have a non-AI filter that will decide if this is a personal email. And that gives customers who want that extra level of privacy a chance to not have AI operate on all their personal conversation. And then it goes, if it passes that filter, it goes to an AI, which will categorize it. And then depending on the category, it goes to yet another AI analysis. And if it's a newsletter, we'll give you a bullet point summary of your newsletter articles so that you can quickly scan those and read them. The biggest thing we heard from people who receive newsletters is that they sort of aspire to read all of the newsletters that they have, but they never really get to doing that. And they often will just like archive all the newsletters in their inbox without reading them, but they sort of wish they could read them. And the bullet point summaries give you a chance to scan, get the gist. And if you don't read the whole thing, you kind of got the key points. And if you want to read the full thing, well, that's the best way. You can just like skip to the part that you know is what you want to read. So it gives you two levels to engage with your newsletters, and you know, you can actually read a lot more of them.
I would argue that there's a third level. If I remember properly, there's a read button at the bottom of each one. So if you scan that, decide that you want the whole article, you can hit read. Can you talk a little bit about what other controls you have when you're looking at newsletters and when you're looking at mail?
Yeah. Well, the one that people like the most is the unsubscribe button. And so if you click that, we will go and unsubscribe from that that newsletter or mailing list for you. But then we'll also add it to a block list so that if that sender continues to send you email, which is actually very common, we'll just automatically put those trash for you. So we sort of maintain this second level of troll that intercepts emails that you don't want to receive, even if they keep sending. And then there's some other options, like you can train the AI by changing the labels that are applied to your emails or telling it how you want specific senders to be handled. And you can do all of that just by sort of providing feedback with these trolls right from the daily email that you receive. And day after day, your digest or your daily summary will just get better and better. And Forage will learn more about how you want your inbox managed. The approach we've taken is that we don't want to necessarily impose a way to do your email, like this is how your email should be done. It's more about, here's an AI, it's at your disposal. It has some really sane defaults for how it does things, but pretty much everything is sort of up to be personalized. And we're continuing to add more ways to deeply personalize that experience.
Talk a little bit about changing the label. How does that work? How quickly does that work? How do you know when it has worked and so forth?
Yeah. So when new email is received, if Forage decides that it's something that needs to, that is not a personal email, it will categorize it. And so we have an array of categories that it will put it in, and that will give it basically put it in a folder in Gmail. But if it stays in your inbox because it's high priority, you'll be able to see it labeled directly in your inbox. And that makes it easier to sort of skip to emails that you think are important or handle similar emails at the same time. This helps reduce decision fatigue. And so if Forage labels something in a way that you disagree with, or you'd like it to be in a different label, you can provide that feedback to Forage. And the next time that that sender arrives, it'll send it to the new label.
And the way you provide that feedback to Forage is to just change the label?
Yeah, in the daily Forage email that you receive, which is like all the emails that it filtered out for you, you can provide that feedback directly there. You can also do it in the app, which you can use to like customize your experience. You can provide that feedback there, and Forage will create a filter that will handle future emails that way.
And when you say in the app, is that something on the desktop?
Yeah, we have a web app. And so you usually don't have to go there unless you really want to change some settings or anything. It's meant to be just an invisible AI that sits inside of your Gmail, and you can access your email from whatever app you're used to, whether it's Gmail or, you know, Apple Mail or some other email app. So you really don't have to go to the app. But if you want to get into the settings and personalize the experience, you can go to our website, log in, and you can see what Forage is doing and change those settings.
Now, I confess that I've been doing all of this on the Mac, but does this work equally well on Windows?
Yep. Yeah. It's web-based, so it works equally well on any operating system. As long as you have a Gmail address, it works, it connects. And like I said, you can check your email from any app.
Now, unfortunately, podcasts are audio only, but give a try on what this looks like, what the experience is like.
Sure. So when you log into Forage, you just connect your Gmail to Forage. You go through a short onboarding where we ask you some questions about how you want your emails to be managed. And then from there, you basically just go back to checking your email. You really only need to go to the app if you are going to change some setting. But the daily experience of using Forage is just checking your email as you normally would. You'll see that your emails in the inbox have been pre-filtered for you and labeled. And any of the emails that Forage has filtered out, they go temporarily to a next Forage folder. And then when your next Forage is delivered once or twice a day, depending on your preferences, that anything in that folder gets summarized into a single email and delivered to you at that time. And then, so you're able to see those emails in that sort of that next Forage folder in between deliveries, but you really don't have to even go check that because you're going to get your daily summary sent to you, and you can just scan that one email. And it's meant to be like an executive brief that you can just like quickly scan, see if there's anything important, and then you can archive or delete that email.
That's great. Can we talk a little bit about flexibility and what kinds of options the user has?
Sure. The first thing we have is filters. So you can decide how individual senders are handled, how each category of emails are handled. So we apply labels based on the contents of the email, and you can decide how each of those categories of email is handled, whether you want summarized, left in your inbox, moved automatically to trash, sort of up to you. And then we also have the ability to change the delivery schedule for the daily Forage summaries. So if you want them once a day at 8 a.m. or 4 p.m., or if you want them twice a day, you can do that too. We're continuing to add more ways to personalize it, like adding different labels if you want them and changing the way that your summaries are created. But that is stuff that's on it.
Yes, I've noticed that your new feature turnaround, your cadence is very quick. All right. Is there a goal that you go for about how often you release new features?
Well, we try to have something meaningful every week. And that's a like sort of a minimum, but we often ship an improvement to the app every day, almost every day. And that's often a bug fix, a tweak. We improve the prompts we use for the AI, and we'll ship features to that. And some of those, we don't even announce because they're small improvements that we make make on a daily basis. And then, we're really just focused on like, what are the things that people are requesting? We go very heavily off of feedback. And so whenever we have like a strong consensus on something, we have a lot of focus on that. We'll move it to the top of the list and we'll tackle it. And usually we can get something done within a week. So that's why our weekly emails generally have like at least one meaningful update per week time.
Okay. Let me get to the subject that I suspect a lot of people are wondering about, which is privacy. If mm-hmm. you're interacting with my mail and you're organizing my mail, are you reading my mail, or who's reading my mail, and how does that work?
So there are no humans who are reading your mail ever. We've gone to great lengths to make sure that data is separate, so that there's really no way for someone on our team to like reading your mail. I mean, but the AI is analyzing the email. So we provide a level of privacy that I don't see from other AI services that deal with email, where we filter out personal emails using basic metadata, and then we pass the non-personal emails to the AI. And that just means that your personal conversation emails from real people are not even, we don't store anything about those. So there's like a level of privacy there that people appreciate. But the most important thing is that we are a Google verified app. We go through regular security audit in order to maintain that status. And we have to have a Google approved privacy policy. And we have to be in compliance with that privacy policy. So everything is transparent. We don't violate that. If it did, we'd lose our ability to build on Gmail and the business. So there's a lot of integrity maintained in the privacy category. And we've sort of gone to greater lengths than other tools that I've seen by adding that personal email filter.
Can you talk some about what costs the user is going to look at? Do you have different plans, and how much is it on a monthly basis and so forth?
Yeah, so plans start at $825 a month. That's the yearly plan. So you build $100 for the whole year. And then if you go to a 3-month plan, it's $36 every 3 months. So about $12 a month. And then the most expensive plan is the monthly plan, which is $14.99.
My experience was to start with the monthly plan, get a feel for it, and then go to the 3 months. And I suspect pretty soon you're going to see my signing up for the year. I do use it every day. I see a tremendous difference in my inbox. There's something very nice about going to the inbox or the updates and seeing that there's nothing in there, and then getting my summaries twice a day. And if 1 o'clock, which is not my summary, hasn't come in a number of hours and I need to know what's going on or did I miss an email, I can go to the, what do we call the upcoming?
Next Forage.
Yeah. So what else should I know about Forage and Forage email?
Well, one thing I wanted to say about the plans is that, we expected a lot of people start with a monthly plan and they work their way up as well. What we've seen is that more than half of people just go for the year upfront, and like 86% of people pick a 3-month or 1 year subscription. And so we've taken that as like a very encouraging sign that people who really like it, they're like, I'm in. And that's really cool.
Who's your primary competitor at this point?
Competitor, I mean, I think any mail client could be considered a competitor. But what we've seen is that most people just want to stay in Gmail. They don't want to create a separate app. And that's why we've taken the approach of being the invisible AI. We're seeing like every email product integrating some kind of AI. But none of those are really as opinionated as we are. So we provide probably an extra level of, we can do more in your inbox because we're a little bit more opinionated because we're built on Gmail versus having to convince somebody to move not only to a new workflow, but also to a totally new product, install it on all their devices. With us, you just sign up, connect your Gmail, and then go. And so, I guess our main competitors, if you were just to, say like, okay, well, who's doing something similar, helping you try to do something similar, you'd be like Superhuman or, any of these, like Apple Mail has their own categories now and things like that. But what we've seen is that customers who try Superhuman that prefer us, they're often because Superhuman is really expensive and it is often used for people who have a lot of correspondence email, meaning they need to reply and answer a lot of their emails. And Forage really helps you with the other like 90% of email you receive that doesn't need a reply. And so for people who get a lot of notifications, like business owners, where they're the centerpiece for a lot of relationships, but also a lot of notifications from all kinds of services that their business relies on, Forage handles on average like 85 to 95% of someone's email. And a lot of these email clients have really over-indexed on the correspondence email. And that's only like a small fraction. So we've really taken the approach of starting with that other 90% of email, and then we'll work our way into being you with personal correspondence.
Before I let you go, can you give us some hints about what's coming, what new features are coming, what things you're particularly interested and excited about?
Well, I think that the reason we're excited about building on email is just because it's integrated with everything already, right? You don't have to convince people to move to a brand new technology that doesn't have adoption more broadly. And we think that the cool thing about Forage, it sort of reduces the overhead that you experience when you add more emails. And so you can sort of start getting notifications for more things sent to your email. Forage can handle that because you're giving Forage more context on your life. Things like social network notifications that turn off, maybe that's something people would want to turn on because now they have Forage, or they'd subscribe to way more newsletters, which we've seen once they have Forage, because now they can actually handle that load. And so what I'm really excited about is continuing to do more more on the AI side to process these emails and provide you even more rich analysis of what's going on so that you can get more information out of your inbox and in less time. So instead of just showing you the emails that have come in, giving you a higher level summary to say, okay, hey, I understand you. I understand sort of what you're about, what's important to you. And I'm going to organize this into a brief that you can quickly scan and read and know exactly what you need to know in a very short period of time. And I think that's really exciting. So just taking the AI features and pushing them further so that we still keep you within a workflow that's familiar, but provide even more utility.
Where do people go if they are fired up by what you said and they want to try it?
Yeah, well, our website, foragemail.com, is a great place to go. We have a 7-day free trial and really easy to get started. Connect your Gmail, follow the onboarding flow, and you'll be done in a couple minutes, and Forage will get to work right away.
And if they do start up and want to give you feedback, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so we have a feedback button in the app. You'll also get emails from me as part of your onboarding, and you can reply to any of those emails. And people do all the time. So I'm constantly talking to folks who have ideas, who have questions, and the best way is just to reply to any of those emails you get after you sign up, or to open the in-app chat, and I'm usually online, so I'll be right there.
If it's not too proprietary, can you give us a general idea of how many people are using this product?
Right now, we have a few hundred. So far, what we've seen is, I think 10 to 15% of people who have ever tried it have signed up for a paid subscription. And so it's still early days, but we've spent a lot of time with our existing customers to just make sure that they were really happy. And now we're at a point where we're really focused on getting more people in the product. We've seen like really encouraging metrics as far as like the percentage of people who try it, who really enjoy it. And we're just now trying to grow it.
Great. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on to yet another podcast. I really found this very interesting. It's an exciting product. I'm personally invested in the sense that I use it and like it, which is why I asked you to come on. And I appreciate you making the time to do so.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to have me on. This has been great.
Thanks so much, Richard.